brings the message.
I love you, man. All right, Pastor Bill's throwing shade at me. Okay. Okay, well, hi, guys. How you doing? Oh, let me put my timer here so I don't run over time real quick. There I go. All right, awesome. Well, guys, I'm so excited to be up here and talk to you today. And like Pastor Bill said, I do have an announcement. So, like what we've been talking about, and if you haven't been here for a while, it's all been almost 2 years now. God laid it on my heart to restart the college ministry, all right, because we hadn't had one for a while. And God gave me a vision, and I typed it all up, and I sent it to Pastor Bill, and Pastor Bill said he was just sitting there in front of his computer praying that someone would restart the college group, and my email came through. So it was a confirmation, and I wanted to have it in Gainesville instead of out here in Micanopy. And the only place we had in Gainesville was our property we purchased like 10 years ago that's for sale right now. And I said, Pastor Bill, can I have it out on that property? And could we like raise some money or do something to put a pavilion out there to meet under? And he said, yeah. So we presented it to the church. And I don't see Alexis, but Alexis McCauley had the idea. She said, you can throw a fundraiser at my place, and you know, she's awesome. She's like, I'll help you, but you're in charge of it. So that really kind of pushed me in my leadership, and I was working full time, so I had to stay up really late. And you know, on my lunch breaks, I was talking to people, and we put together what we called the Perry Plantation Fun Day. You guys remember that? Yeah, we had to raise $4,600. Can you believe that was a year and a half ago we put that on? Doesn't feel that long ago. So we did it, my first big event, leading it, and we raised $4,600 during that event. So we put a portable pavilion out there on the church land, and we named the college group the pavilion. So I've been leading the college group for a year and a half now, and we've seen growth. It's been awesome. We did another event out there on the land. We did a laser tag event, free laser tag, and tons of people showed up, again, as a second event I led. But again, I was working full-time, so it's tough to plan a whole event while you're working full-time. And I noticed something, and it's the same issue that had affected all the previous college leaders, was, you know, they either had to work full-time or they had other responsibilities, and we'd always hit this wall where we just couldn't get past a certain size of the college group. And I started to notice that I couldn't get it past a certain size because I worked full-time. I couldn't be on the campus with the students where they were. I could only do it on weekends. So God was really laying on my heart to go into full-time ministry. Now, I also understood that the church didn't have the funds to hire another full-time person. So after talking to Pastor Bill and all my other mentors in the faith, it was decided that I would go and raise my own funds, support myself. So 3 months ago, I left my job, huge step of faith, no job, and I spent the whole time meeting with different churches and individuals and asking them, you know, presenting my ministry plan to them and asking them if they would give a monthly gift to support me. And like I said, that was 3 months ago, so I do have an announcement. And I might have to change my lifestyle a little bit because I'm not making quite as much as I was before, but I am happy to announce that I did, in fact, make enough money to go into full-time ministry. So praise God. Praise God. Oh, my gosh. I am so excited, guys. I've been working on this for 2 years to get that full-time, to hit the campus running. You know, I planned these events while I was working full-time, and so excited to be able to, like, plan these big events and get tons of college students out there and be on the campus every day. And don't worry, we're still going to use that pavilion. It's not going to waste. We'll do events out there. Plus, it's portable. So when we sell that land, we can just move it to the new church, which has enough room for the pavilion. So it's all in God's planning. So are you guys ready to see the college group explode and tons of young people in the church? Amen. Amen. Well, I could just stop there. That was pretty good. No, I do have a message for you guys today. In your worship guide, you should have received a note-taking device. If you don't have one, raise your hands, and the ushers will bring you one. So what I want to talk to you guys about today is I want to talk to you about what I've learned on my path to full-time ministry, and especially what I've learned the past 3 months where I had no job and was trusting fully on God to bring it to pass. And the thing I've learned most is that God's timing is not our timing. Have you ever noticed that before? Yeah, God's timing is not our timing. It's different, it's better, but it's not ours. So that's the title of my message today. It's called The Timing of God. Okay, go with me to Psalm 27, verse 14. It'll be up on the overhead. It says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." I don't know about you guys, but I don't like waiting. Does anyone here just love waiting? Do you go to a theme park and look forward to waiting in line? You know, no, you go there because you want to ride the rides, you want to see the shows, you don't want to wait in line. We want what we want, and we want it now, don't we? But the thing is, in life, the majority of the time, you have to wait for things, and you have struggles while you wait, and sometimes you don't even get the thing you were waiting for, okay? So if you read the Bible, all right, it's full of people that had to wait on God, and they had struggles while you wait. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, I have, when you read each story, it really spends most of the time talking about the wait and the struggle, and just a little bit of time talking about the victory. It's like they had to wait on fight all this time, and oh, by the way, they got everything they were believing for. Anyway, on to the next person. So why is it worded that way? Well, it's because we don't really need to be taught how to receive things, okay? We know good and well how to receive things. We do need to be taught on how to wait on God, though. We need to be taught that God's timing is better than our timing. So today I'm going to teach you that. I'm going to give you three ways to accept the timing of God. All right, so in your notes, the first fill in the blank, this is the first way to accept God's timing in your life. Be, can you fill this in? Be faithful while you wait. Be faithful while you wait. We're all waiting on something, right? We all have a dream that we would like to be fulfilled. It's different for every person, but the same principles apply. Or maybe you don't even have a dream yet, and you're just waiting on God just to give you a dream. Either way, you're still waiting on something. Now, me personally, I have been waiting my entire life. Ever since I was a little boy, I wanted to be in full-time ministry. Okay, and it's been a long, you know, difficult journey. I've had hardships, you know, I've been through some times where God really tested me, and I had to wait and wait and wait. And, you know, I did not like waiting. I wanted to be in ministry, but, you know, God has to go through a process first. And there were many times while I was waiting where I was tempted to say, "God, I'll serve you fully when you give me what I want." Okay, has anyone ever been there before? Saying, "God, if you give me this, then I'll give you this." That's the temptation of every human. But the thing is, the time of waiting may very well be the most important time of your life. Because it is easy to be faithful in victory, but it's blessed to be faithful while you wait. Okay? It's easy to be faithful in victory. It's blessed to be faithful while you wait. Okay? So you might not have the answer. You might not even know what you're supposed to do right now. Say, "I don't even know what God wants me to do." Well, while you're waiting, you be faithful. You know, how do you do that? Well, the being faithful is actually very simple. And Pastor Bill's taught us this concept before about the four legs of the chair. Okay, when you sit on a chair, it's got four legs, right? You take one leg off, it gets wobbly. You take two legs off, it falls over. And there are four legs of the Christian faith. And I got them up here on the screen. Okay, so the first leg of being faithful in the Christian is pray. Pray every day. Okay, read your Bible every day. Third one is go to church every week as much as is in your power. Now, sometimes you got work and family issues and stuff, but as much as depends on you, you're at church. And four is give. Okay, and that's giving of both your finances and of your time, you know, serving in church. I've had lots of people come to me and say, "Michael, how do I become a minister? How do I become this great person? How do I do this and this?" Waiting to hear this amazing thing. And I say, "Well, are you doing these four things?" And they'll say, "No, I'm not doing those four things." I'm like, "Well, start with that. That's your first step. You be faithful in that. When you're waiting, you actually serve others first." Go with me to Luke 16, verse 10. Okay? It says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much." Jump down to verse 12. It says, "And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" All right? So God, the Bible's saying something here that seems backwards to us. He's saying you actually serve other people and be faithful with their things before God can trust you with your own things. Okay. So in these last 3 months, I had a particular issue with one of these four legs, okay? And that was giving, because I didn't have any money. I left my job, and people were giving me money so I could keep moving forward. And like I said, I had 3 months to get it done, and after the first month, I hadn't tithed yet off of what people had given me, okay? So the first month went great. I had all these meetings assigned up, and people were given to me monthly, and it was going great. Then suddenly, I hit a snag, and I couldn't get anyone to meet with me. And I was confused. I said, God, what's going on? How come no one's meeting with me right now? I had them all set up every day before. And God, I felt like God spoke to me and said, it's because you haven't been faithful with the money that's come in yet. He said, you have to tithe. And I said, can I just tithe, you know, after I get fully funded, you know, after the money comes in? And God said, no, you can't do that. He said, Michael, you are a leader. You're supposed to set the example. You have to tithe off of the money that's come in. How many like it when God sets you straight like that? How many have had that happen before? And it's, you know, he's a great God. I love it when he does that. And I said, you're right. So I went online right then and there. And I went, and by the way, you can give online, which is pretty awesome, Victory Church. So I calculated how much had come in and how much I needed to tithe, which was a lot for me because I had bills to pay. But I gave it all right then and there. And guys, I tell you, the next day I had three meetings set up just like that. So these, yeah, praise God. And then things picked up again. So, you know, God's not a liar. When you do what he says, it comes to pass. So you say, Michael, I don't even know what my calling is, my ultimate calling is. Well, do you know what my ultimate calling is? No, really, do you know what my ultimate calling is? Because I don't know what it is. When I say ultimate calling, I mean the reason God puts you on this planet. Nobody knows that. You only know what God is putting before you right now. And right now is the only time you can be faithful. You can't be faithful in the future. You can't be faithful in the past. That's gone. You have to be faithful right now. Okay? So that's step one of accepting God's timing for your life, is be faithful while you wait. Step number two, and your second fill in the blank in your notes, is deal correctly with the mountains. Deal correctly with the mountains. What does that mean? Well, go with me to Mark 11, 23. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Okay? Now, when I was younger, I had an improper understanding of what this verse meant. Okay? So I believed what this was saying is if you had enough faith, you could go to any mountain and tell it to move, and it would have to move, okay? And if you had enough faith, you could basically just do whatever you wanted, and then miracles would follow. So little me, little teenage Michael, would do this thing where I would go out in my yard, and I'd try to tell the trees to move in Jesus' name. My neighbors must have thought I was very strange. Do you think those trees moved when I said anything? No, they did not move one inch. But why? I had the faith. I really believed that I said it, they would move. Yet at the same time, I've given you testimonies up here before of miracles I saw when I was a teenager. I prayed for people and they were healed, didn't need surgery anymore. I saw wounds dry up after I prayed for them. But how come sometimes it happens and it doesn't? You ever wondered that before? How come you've prayed for things sometimes and you saw a miracle and you know it was God, it had to be God who did it, but most of the time you don't see something happen? Well, the issue, like I said, is I misunderstood what that verse meant. It's not saying you can do whatever you want. What it is really saying is there's nothing that can stand between you and God's will and plan and timing for your life, okay? If there is something standing between you and God, you have full God-given rights to tell it to move in Jesus' name. That's what that scripture is saying. So it's going to the extreme here and saying, even if that thing was a mountain, if there was a mountain somehow standing between you and God's will and timing for your life, you can tell the mountain to move. However, if there's a mountain that has absolutely nothing to do with God's plan for your life, you can shout the name of Jesus at it all day long and it's not going anywhere. It's a mountain. Mountains don't move. Okay, so sometimes We get all mad at God and saying, God, why aren't you moving this mountain in my life? But that mountain has nothing to do with God's plan for you. It's just something you came up with in your own head, something that you think you need. So go with me to James 4:3. It says, when you ask, and by the way, when it says ask, that's talking about praying to God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Okay? So sometimes our prayers, what we're asking for might not be sinful, but it's we got the wrong motive with it. Now, I used to have a wrong motive in my life, to be honest. I had a mountain in my life that was preventing me from moving forward. As I said, I wanted to be in full-time ministry, okay? But I thought I needed something first before I could be in full-time ministry. And I thought that I needed a wife that could lead worship, okay? Because every minister I knew had a wife that could lead worship, all right? So when Pastor Bill started Victory Church, Miss Rebecca led worship. Sometimes my mom would lead worship from my dad. My pastor, my college pastor, Pastor AJ, his wife Christina led worship. And then when Pastor Mike took over the college group, Lelaine would lead worship. So I'm like, you gotta have the wife that leads worship. I mean, 1 + 1 = fun, you know, it just works. That's just how it goes. So also to add to this issue in my life, for whatever reason, my whole life, even as a kid, I thought marriage was just the greatest thing in the world, okay? Going to weddings was like going to the Super Bowl for me. I was so excited. And I would actually watch marriage seminars as a kid just to learn about marriage. I was kind of a strange kid. I watched marriage seminars and I talked to trees. What am I doing? No, but God used it, okay. And also, another reason I wanted to be married is, see, I had this theory when I was younger. After watching all the married couples in the church, I had this theory that women were just better than men in every way possible, pretty much. Because every time I saw an argument, the woman was always the one that was right. So I was like, man, we guys, yeah, amen, amen. I was like, wow, we guys, we're really getting the better end of the deal here, so. But I needed to prove the theory, okay? Because everybody I knew who was married was already married when I met them. So to prove it, I waited until Robert got married, my older brother. And when Jessica came along, lo and behold, it was proved. Jessica was better than Robert in pretty much every way possible. Robert, you're supposed to say amen. I'm trying to help you. Trying to help you. And then it was proved again with Wesley and Jamie when it happened. So, joking aside, yes, I was very excited to be married at 21. That's when I thought I should be married, 21, because that's when everyone else was married. So, when 21 came along, I was like, oof, been a tough time, been a tough journey, but any day now. Where is she? Any day now. Then I turned 22. I'm like, okay, getting a little tough, but good things come to those who wait. So you can go ahead, God. It's all right. You can do it. And then 23, and then 24, and I'm like going a little crazy, but, I'll make a deal with you, God, as if I had some sort of bargaining chip in the matter. I was like, she doesn't have to lead worship. How's that? I know. I'm pretty amazing like that, but you can go ahead and bring her now, or I'm going to die. And then I turn 25, I'm going to die, So I was like, I'm starting to get mad, okay? And something interesting started to happen at 25. God started to move me into ministry, all right? Like, I'd been in ministry my whole life. I'd always did things. But God started really giving me, leadership responsibilities. And I started to freak out. I said, whoa, I don't have the wife that leads worship yet. You're getting ahead of things. And church, I tell you, for the next 2 years, I held myself back mentally, okay? Because I thought I really needed the wife. I was still faithful. I still, served the church as best as I could. But I held myself back. And when I was 27, just to be very honest with you, I was pretty mad, okay? I was actually even considering, I wanted to be married so bad, I thought it was 2021, and I was considering moving away and going and finding a wife. It was becoming that much of an issue with me. So at 27, what finally happened was I finally had a conversation with God. Okay, and when I say I had a conversation with God, that doesn't mean I'm talking to him like I'm talking to you right now. That's just feelings I get when I pray and wisdom I get from my mentors in the faith when I talk to them. But to paraphrase, the conversation went something like this. God said, "Michael, why are you so angry?" And I said, "Because I don't have what I want." And God said, "What do you want?" I said, "I want to be a minister so I can teach people and lead them to you, but I don't have a wife yet." And God said, "Why do you need a wife to do that?" And I said, "Because everyone else has one, and I, everyone else has one, but I won't be strong enough without a wife." And God said, "Michael, is a wife the source of your strength, or am I the source of your strength?" And God continued, he said, "And is having a wife in your life more important than having me in your life?" And again, to be honest with you, I didn't have an answer for that question. Okay, now if you'd ask me in my head, I'd say, "Oh no, of course, God's more important to that. I choose God." But in my heart, was that really true? So this disturbed me that I didn't have an answer for this. So I went to God and I prayed and I fasted and I really sought the answer to this. Why was this bothering me so much? And God finally revealed it to me. The thing is, the desire, even though it's a good thing, that God says it's a good thing to desire a wife, but it had become an idol in my life, all right? And when I say idol, I don't mean a little figurine you bow down to. An idol in the Bible is just anything you put before God, okay? And I was putting that before God. So I got my answer, and I came back to God, and I said, "God, I have an answer. A wife is not the source of my strength. You're the source of my strength. And having a wife in my life is not more important than having you in my life. What I really want to be is the man of God you called me to be." So I would say, I still want to be married, God. I still do. But even if I'm never married, you will always be my God. And church, I tell you, oh, there you go. Thanks, Elaine. And it wasn't long after that God moved me into ministry. Pastor Bill asked me to join the lead team. I took over the college ministry, and here I am at 30 years old, and in just a couple days, I'll be in full-time ministry. And I didn't need, praise God. And I didn't need a wife to do any of that. All I needed was God. Now, apply this to your situation, okay? Obviously, not everyone's believing to go into full-time ministry, but you are believing for something. And there are mountains in your way, all right? And you need to have that same conversation with God. You say, "What are the mountains, God, tell me, what are the mountains you need to move? What are the mountains that need to move in me?" Okay, you've ever heard that saying before? Sometimes he moves the mountain, sometimes he moves the mountain with me. So that's step number two, is deal correctly with the mountains, all right? Now, step number three, and your third fill in the blank. And this one is probably the most important one, okay? Step number three for accepting God's timing in your life, be happy while you wait. Be happy while you wait. Philippians 4, 11, starting in verse 11. This is the Apostle Paul talking, okay? The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament, so he'd be a good guy to listen to. He says, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Most people have heard that last scripture before. Not most people realize it's talking about being happy while you're waiting, being happy while you're struggling. Now, this is particularly difficult for me because I have the tendency to think once everything is in place, then I can be happy, okay? And the tendency is to be stressed out about every little detail. But the thing is, very rarely is things in life in order, or at least what we think order should be, okay? And does God want us to go through our life only being happy a small percentage of the time when everything's in order? No. Not according to this scripture. It says he wants you to be happy at all times. Okay, and again, This was hard for me the last 3 months because, like I said, I'm fundraising, and people, it was really important to me that I was responsible with my time during fundraising, okay? Because people are giving me their hard-earned money because they believe I'm going to use it for the kingdom of God, okay? So I really wanted to be, you know, efficient with my time and responsible with my time. But fundraising is kind of like fishing, okay? You got to throw out as many lines as you can and wait for someone to bite, wait for someone to come in. So there were times where I'd called everyone I knew to call, talked to everyone I knew to talk to, knocked on every door I knew to knock on, sent every email I knew to send, and I just had to wait for someone to answer. And during those waiting times, I would get really anxious and really stressed out and be like, I got to make it, I got to do something, I got to do this and this and this and this, and God would stop me and say, Michael, I want you to rest. You know, you can't do anything right now. I want you to rest, pray, read your Bible, have a good time with me. And I'd be like, no, 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 I got to do it. I got to be responsible. I got to do this and this and this. But God would say, Michael, this is a special time in your life. This is a time when you're fully dependent on me, and I want you to enjoy it. Because one, if you try to make it happen yourself, it's not going to work, not in your own power. And two, people are giving you money because they trust you to win the loss. And if you're a big ball of stress, you won't be able to help anybody out. So once again, God set me straight, like he does. And I said, okay. So I was as faithful as I knew to be with my time, but during my downtime, when I couldn't move any further, I would just read my Bible and pray and rest in God. And I had a really good time. And God would tell me, okay, Michael, go check your finances. I'd be like, no, I don't want to do that. Okay, I know what my bills are. I know what the checks I've seen come in. I don't want to look at that. But God would say, no, Michael, go look at your finances. So I'd pull up my computer, pull up my bank account, and guys, I still don't know how. I do know how. It was God. But it doesn't make sense. But every time, my finances were fine, okay? And, you know, I thought about maybe I should get a calculator and just see how it ended up. I'm like, no, no, I'm not even going to look at it. I know it's God. I know it's God bringing that in because it doesn't make sense why my finances are fine right now. And so, guys, at the end of the fundraising process, not only did I have a great time and a great restful time to pray and seek and get vision for the ministry, but God brought more money in than I could have if I tried to force it myself. So that's the power of being happy while you wait. Okay? Now, go with me to 2 Peter 3:9. It says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Now, I used to hear this, I'd read it, and I'd hear people preach it, and I'd go, amen, God's not slow. But in the back of my mind, I'd be thinking, no, he's pretty slow. Okay, I was supposed to marry married at 21, that's 9 years ago. You know, if I was 9 years late on rent, I'd be in jail by now, you know, that seems pretty slow to me. And I didn't understand this scripture. But then, guys, when I was writing this message, God revealed to me what it meant, and it blew my mind, okay? Because God can do that. He's God. So now I'm going to blow your guys' mind with the true meaning of this scripture, okay? It turns out God is actually the fastest being in the universe, okay? You know, newsflash, the guy who created the universe is the fastest being in the universe, and we're slow. That's what it says. It says he's patient with us. Okay, but how can that be? Why does it take so long to get these things I'm praying for? How can he be fast? Now, he may take his time giving you the things, okay? And there's nothing wrong with things. We need things. The Bible says God knows we need things, but he gives them to us in his own timing. However, what I realized is when I am asking for a thing, what I want isn't really the thing, okay? What I want is the joy and the peace that I believe that thing will bring me. Okay, the security of that thing. If I get it, I'll be safe, I'll be happy, I'll have peace. Okay, but that's just a thing. They don't bring joy and peace. So God may take his time giving you a thing, but if you ask for the peace and the joy, God will give it to you like that. Okay, that's why God is the fastest being in the universe. And that's why the Apostle Paul said he can be happy at all times. All right, if you read the life of the Apostle Paul, he had some tough times, okay? He was scourged, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was stoned, thrown in jail multiple times, shipwrecked multiple times. He said he was full days in the sea floating there. Yet through all of it, he would ask God. He said, God, give me the joy and the peace in this situation, and God would give it to him. The Apostle Paul wasn't crazy, okay? He actually understood the timing of the Lord better than we did. So we tend to think that the timing of God is slow. It's all about waiting, and eventually you'll get the victory. But no, that's not true at all. Okay? The timing of the Lord is every second of every minute, of every hour, every day, of every month, of every year. God is in every breath and in every step. And the joy of the Lord can follow you at all times and in all places. The Lord is moving in this generation, and I can sit back and be all angry because I'm not married and I don't have all these things I think I need to do. Or I can go out into the world and touch it with the love and power of Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit and see signs, wonders, and miracles and take that campus for Christ. And the joy of the Lord will be my strength, and he will stand before me, and my God will lead me and guide me every step of the way, and victory will no longer be something I wait for, but it'll be a way of life for me. That's the timing of the Lord. That's what he wants for each and every one of us. That's the true timing of God. He's not slow. He's every second. And guys, I got one last scripture for you. And I think, and talking about the timing of the Lord, it's really important to talk about 2019. We're at the new year. A new year is about to stop. So it's pertinent that we talk about the timing of the Lord for this new year. So go with me to 1 Chronicles 12:32. It says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200 and their brethren were at their command. This scripture is given in the middle of a census of the people of Israel. It's just the people who followed King David at the time. But God took special care to say something about this people group, the sons of Issachar. He was very proud of the fact that they had understanding of the times and what they should do during the times. So we're about to go into 2019. How should we act in 2019? Well, if you read the whole Bible, okay, you see clear patterns on how God moves. Okay, with each new account of each new person, God moves in pretty much the same pattern. They go through an extended time of waiting and struggle, okay, a difficult time. That doesn't mean they don't use their faith or they don't get small victories throughout it, but they don't get the major victory yet. They go through tough times first. Then they go through a short time of change, all right? Everything gets moved around. There's change, you know, people leave the group who were there before, and people come in, you know, their jobs change, positions change, kings change, alliances change, all kind of stuff happens. There's just a short time of change. And that's God shaking things up and getting ready for the next part. The next part is the time of victory, okay? During this time in each account is when they start taking ground. Okay, they're fighting the same, they're using their faith the same, but now they're starting to get the victory and they eventually get what they were believing for, okay? Now, for me personally and pretty much everyone I talk to, the previous 2 years, 2016 and 2017, were a real struggle. They were really tough. Can anyone attest to that? Those were just kind of tough years. Doesn't mean we didn't get any victories in them. We did, but it was just a tough time. And again, for me personally, and again, pretty much everyone I talk to, this year, 2018 year, has been a year of change. Just all kind of stuff changed, okay? Like, it's hard to tell if it's even good or bad. It just all changed. You know, my whole life has changed. I left my job. I'm going into full-time ministry. The church has changed. We got a new building. We're trying to build it. And everyone else I talked to was like, man, just everything's different right now. So, if you follow the patterns of God, we've gone through the time of struggle. We've gone through the time of change. What comes next? Okay, so I don't know if I'm being prophetic, and I don't know if, you know, this is just thus saith the Lord, but maybe I'm just talking in faith, but I declare 2019 will be the year of victory. Amen? The year of victory. Again, that doesn't mean we won't have struggles or difficulties. What it does mean is we'll begin to take ground for the kingdom of God. And I also declare, not only it will be the year of victory, it will be the year of Victory Church. Okay, that's, our name is going to finally start to make sense for everyone. And for the first time in our history, we will have a permanent location inside of Gainesville. We've been believing for that since day one. Ever since I got here, 19 years ago, we were talking about, you know, moving to Gainesville. And also, for the first time in our history, we'll have a full-time college minister on the campus and me. Amen. So get ready, Victory Church. There's going to be a lot of young college students coming in here and getting set free. There's going to be college students getting their hearts set on fire for God. And that's an amazing thing to see. And not only will they be on fire for God, but they'll be going out and making disciples themselves. Are you ready, Victory Church? Are you ready to see the youth of Gainesville coming in and getting the pain in their lives healed and bringing their parents with them? Are you ready to see our church family grow like never before? And, you know, it's going to take all of us, okay? We'll need your help. We got to be a family to these people. Some of these young people, they don't even have families of their own, okay? And they'll be looking for families. We'll got to accept them. They're going to be different than us. They're from a different generation. But God accepted us the way we were, so we accept them. So Victory Church, next year is going to be the most amazing time of your life. Are you ready for the year of victory, Victory Church? Okay? Did anyone get anything out of this message today? All right. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to your people, to speak to your church. I count it a great opportunity, a great joy. I'm so thankful, Lord. And Lord, I pray right now for that new church that we're working on, Lord Jesus. I pray everyone who said they would do something would do it and be done faster, Lord Jesus. I pray for those contractors who are working on the wall that it goes smoothly, Lord Jesus. The expenses wouldn't go up. In fact, they'd be lower than we thought. And pray for the help we need to get out there. And I pray it'd be a fun time, it'd be an enjoyable time. People would be able to get off work and go and work on that church together, Lord. And I pray for the college ministry. I pray you'd lead me and guide me every step of the way. I pray for the event we're planning in January that it'd have all the help that it needs, Lord Jesus, and we'd have all the outcome you want us to have and see young people coming in. And I pray for everyone in this church right now for your timing to be on them, Lord Jesus. For this 2019, for all the victories they've been praying for, praying for jobs and increase in finances, and pray for salvations of loved ones, Lord Jesus, that these things would all start to come to pass, Lord Jesus, that 2019 would truly be the year of victory for us, Lord. And right now, church, there's a question I want to ask you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we always want to ask this question at the end of every service. It's the most important question anyone could ask you. And the question is this: if you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? You may say, I think so, I hope so, I'm not really sure. How can anyone know for sure? Well, the Bible says you can know for sure. The Bible says, I write these things, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. What does that mean? Well, someone asked Jesus what that means, and Jesus said, you must be born again. That means there comes a time in your life where you ask Jesus to come and live in your life and repent of your sins, and he makes you into a new person. So if you've never done that before, in just a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to raise your hand. No one's going to be looking around. Everyone's eyes are closed. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or embarrass you. All I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand, and I'll lead you in a prayer. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to do that, but I have a second question for you. Maybe you've done that before in the past, okay? But right now, you know you're not in the timing of God. You know you're not where God wants you to be right now, and you'd like to rededicate your life to the Lord. If either of those two things apply to you, you want to give your life to God for the first time, or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, if with everyone's head bowed and all eyes closed, go ahead and raise your hand right now. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? All right, praise you, Father. Just a couple more seconds. All right, let's lead those who've raised their hands in a prayer, and let's all pray it with them. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died on the cross for my sins, and God raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, right now, I open my heart and invite you to come in. Forgive me of my sins and teach me to be the person that you want me to be. Be my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People just got born again and birthed into the kingdom of God. It's a great day.